I want to talk a little football with you. I know you guys are all excited about the Steelers, and the Steelers went in the championship again, but now, in all seriousness, why do I have a football here? Because my son actually is playing football this year at Horizon. He's a freshman, and he had a couple of weeks, and he sort of liked it because he could sort of cuss for what they called these couple of weeks. But they were very hard weeks, and they were weeks to prepare. And they were weeks to prepare and to get equipped for the football season. And so for 2 weeks, my son Micah had five-hour practices. And the reason he had five-hour practices is because they wanted him to be equipped and prepared for the season so the season would start off successfully. And a lot of my thoughts in ministry come from sports, and I played sports throughout my life, and I always had to be prepared and disciplined in shape in order to be the best athlete I could be. And if I didn't want to prepare and equip myself to get ready for the season, guess what? I had a coach who forced me to do things I didn't want to do so that I could succeed in sports. My son Micah also plays quarterback. And if you know anything about the quarterback position, it's a very important position because first and foremost, you need to be able to receive the ball from the center, right? Because if there is not a proper reception from the center, guess what's going to happen? He's going to fumble and lose the ball. After he receives it from the center, there's another important step, right? He needs to be able to back up without falling down, and then he has to be able to properly deliver the ball to his running back, or to pitch the ball to the running back, or to be able to throw it to a wide receiver so that the ball can go down the field. In ministry, sometimes we as a staff, we sort of are like the quarterback. And when it comes to ministry, sometimes we drop the ball, sometimes we fumble it. Sometimes we don't give good passes. Sometimes we don't give good handoffs. Sometimes we don't give good pitches. But one of the things that often happens in ministry is we like the ball as staff. And we like to hold on to the ball, and we don't like to share the ball. And I'll just speak for myself. I won't speak for the rest of the staff. One of the reasons that happens is because I'm a control freak. I'm a perfectionist, and I got a little psychology in me, and I'm a little codependent. What all that means is I like the ministry sort of to revolve around myself. And in order for a church to be healthy and strong, the staff needs to be able to equip and to encourage and to prepare you for the work of the ministry. So tonight, I want you to take out this blue handout called Equip 210. And I just want to go over 5 points that I think are very important. And I'm going to use the acronym EQUIP to help you to remember these points. Because when you mention the word equip, a lot of us get very confused. What are we talking about when we talk about equip? It's a biblical word. It's used in Ephesians 4. Another place that is actually used is in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training." And then it says, "So that the man of God or the woman of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Or some translation says, "To be thoroughly prepared for every good work." So we need God's word in order that we can be prepared and equipped for good works. Likewise, we need ministry staff or ministry leaders, as Ephesians 4 calls them, so that the saints can be equipped and prepared for the ministry and service. And I've been teaching a lot on discovering your gifts, discovering your style of ministry, discovering your passion for ministry, trying to get plugged into ministry for probably the last 20 years. And for some reason, there's a short circuit between the staff and the servant sometimes getting plugged into ministry and then getting properly equipped for ministry. And so I'm really excited tonight. I know 111 people had signed up. I don't know how many people are actually here tonight, but I'm excited for the life of our church that you made the time and effort to come here tonight. Well, let's look at the first word, E. The first word, E, stands for empower the leader. We need to empower the leader. Years ago, there was a study done by Natural Church Development, and they tried to look at characteristics of churches throughout the world that were growing, not just numerically, but they were also growing spiritually. And one of the characteristics they discovered of growing churches and healthy churches and strong churches is that they had leadership that empowered other leaders to do the ministry. And guess what happened? When they started putting this on a test to sort of score you and your church to figure out how well you were doing, many pastors started to get a lot of anxiety and stress because they wanted to be known as pastors who were empowering the leadership. Well, what does empowering the leadership mean, or empowering the leader mean? It means to encourage, to disciple, to mentor, to come alongside, to give assistance to so that the leader can succeed. Sometimes in ministry, we talk about delegation. And a lot of times when we talk about delegation from a staff standpoint, we're saying we want to delegate stuff so that we can succeed as staff. But when we talk about empowerment, we are talking about not delegating stuff or giving ministry responsibilities so that we can succeed as staff, but so that the leader or the ministry person or the church can succeed. Empowerment is huge. And again, this is hard because a lot of times as a staff person, if I'm a control freak or if I'm a perfectionist or if I want people to be dependent upon me, I don't want to empower the leader. And you need to think about who is empowering you for the ministry right now and who are you empowering underneath you. So it's a two-way street. You need to be empowered as a leader, but you also need to be empowering others. I love 2 Timothy 2:6. It says, "Fan into flame the gift of God." And Paul was encouraging Timothy to use the gift that God has given him for the work of the ministry. And too often, we're sort of letting that flame go out, and empowering the leader allows that flame to be strong for the glory of God. Q. Sometimes we need to quit. We need to quit in our areas of weakness. Now, this may sound strange coming from a pastor encouraging you to quit something. But leadership books today are teaching us that we need to quit where we are weak. For example, Marcus Buckingham, who wrote the Strength Finders books, and he wrote a book, Go Put Your Strengths Into Work. He started to discover that people, even in the work field, were discovering their strengths and their giftedness and their abilities. But guess what? At work, they still weren't putting them into practice. And so what Marcus Buckingham started to teach people was, well, maybe what you need to do is you need to stop doing some stuff. You need to stop where you are weak in order that you can start doing where you are strong. It's interesting. Seth Godin, who writes a lot of leadership marketing books, he does some blogs. He's one of my favorites to read. He's just real easy to read. He's got this book called The Dip. And towards the end, he's got quit with an exclamation point. He says it's okay to quit sometimes. In fact, it's okay to quit often. You should quit if you're on a dead-end path. You should quit if you're facing a cliff. You should quit if a project you're working on has a dip that isn't worth the reward at the end. Quitting the projects that don't go anywhere is essential if you want to stick out the right ones. You don't have the time or the passion or the resources to be the best in the world at both. And this is hard. And I know this from firsthand experience as a pastor, but also watching so many people in the church. My brother calls it the law of capable people. And if you are capable, you're going to be asked to do a lot of stuff in the church, a lot of ministry work. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes you need to quit those areas that you are weak. In fact, the verse I have for you, 2 Timothy 4:5, it's very interesting. Paul was challenging Timothy, and he says, discharge all your duties of your ministry. Why? So as a pastor, you can preach the word, be an evangelist, and pray. And so there's certain things we as pastors need to quit, but there's certain things and ministries that maybe you need to quit that don't match your giftedness and your strengths. And that's very important. And you have to have the freedom to be able to quit. You is understand. You need to understand your strengths. You need to understand your giftedness. And there's a lot of people that are confused. And it goes all the way back in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 12:1. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be foolish. I don't want you to be in the dark about spiritual gifts. And for some reason, we stopped teaching spiritual gifts. And then they sort of had a resurgence in the 80s and 90s. And people are very confused on what their giftedness is. But we need to understand not only where we're strong and weak, but we need to understand how God has designed us and wired us for ministry. We need to understand the roles that we play in ministry. So we need to understand that Ephesians 4 says that there are pastors and teachers and shepherds and prophets and apostles and evangelists. And their style of leadership is such that they need to equip again, they need to prepare the saints for the works of the service. Obviously, there will be some overlap, but we need to understand what is the role of the pastor, what is the role of the leader, is to equip. And then the minister or the saint, actually is what Scripture says, the saints are to do the work of the ministry. They're to serve. And they're to serve according to their giftedness. Now, if you get really weirded out on what your spiritual gift is, when it comes to 1 Peter 4, it comes down basically to two gifts. Either you have a speaking gift or you have a serving gift. And once you can understand who you are and how you're wired and how God has gifted you for ministry and what your job is, it's going to make you more equipped and prepared to do the work of the ministry. We need to invest. One of the four things that we talk about doing here, one of the four measures of where we want to see somebody who calls College Avenue home is we want them to pray, we want them to worship, and we also want them to love, but we want them to invest. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, entrust to reliable men who are qualified to teach others, or entrust to reliable women who are qualified to teach others. We need to be about the business of investing. I heard somebody once say, everybody needs a Paul, everybody needs a Barnabas, and everybody needs a Timothy. And so you need to ask yourself, who is investing in you for the work of the ministry? And then you need to ask yourself, who's investing you sort of as a partner in crime, a partner in the ministry who can encourage you and support you and come alongside of you? And then you need to ask yourself, who are you investing in so the work of the ministry can go forward? Here at College Avenue and every church I've been in, I see people have great dreams and visions for ministry, but they never think about who they're going to invest in. And when they're gone, or when they stop doing the ministry dies. Why? Because they never invested in someone to carry the torch forward. The P. You might have thought it was prepare if you like filling in advance, but it's to plan and prepare. You see, equipping is not going to happen unless the staff has a plan on how to prepare you. It's not going to work in your ministry unless you have a plan on how you plan to prepare for people. Talking about Micah playing 2 weeks of training, which was very difficult for him, it was very interesting. Whenever he would be in the car going to practice, he would say, I don't want to go to practice today. But every day after this 5-hour practice, he would say, oh, I feel so good. I feel in shape. I feel prepared. I feel equipped. The example from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we need God's word to prepare us for good works. Athletes need coaches to prepare them for victory. those in the military, what? They need generals and superiors to prepare them and equip them for battle. And churches need pastors and directors and leaders of ministry to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. As we close here, I just want to turn over to the back, and I want you to think about these concepts. And it may be something for you to talk to your ministry team leader about. One word I'd like for us to use over the course of the next year is shadow. We could use the term mentor or train, but the question is, who are you shadowing? Who are you looking at to prepare you for the ministry? But then the second question is, who is your shadow? Who's looking over your shoulder so that they can teach in that class, or they can lead a ministry, or they can be prepared to serve in the future? I would love for us as a church, for our ministries, to have what's called a backstage pass, where those interested in ministry, and some of you maybe came tonight because you're interested in getting involved, you can sort of go backstage and see what happens in a ministry so you can know whether it's a proper fit for you. So what ministry would you like to learn more about? I'm amazed you guys came out tonight, and churches are struggling to get people out, so we need to be creative, and maybe we need to do some video training on the internet, or MP3 training, or something that you can download and listen to. And so we need to think about what kind of training we need so we can excel in our ministry. I think we can use Facebook so that we can stay connected within our ministry. We need blogs and blog calendars so that we know what's happening. I'm a big fan of conferences, especially if you're able to grasp some ideas and you can go together as a ministry team and brainstorm and get excited and get energized for the ministry. And then what we're going to do tonight is we're going to get in huddles, and we're just going to get together with our ministry team so we can encourage and learn the vision and challenge each other. And so I hope when you think about equip, you can think about what it means to be empowered, to quit something. And it's all right to quit something. What it means to understand your role and the way you're wired for ministry. Who you're investing in and who's investing in you. And developing a plan to prepare yourself for the ministry. And again, I am so thankful that you came tonight. And I pray that God will bless your evening and bless this year as we serve Him.